Japan 2.0.
Tell me where you want to go.
You see me on your television. You hear me on your radio. You like it where your eyes.
But tell me where you want to go.
Japan 2.0.
Tell me where you want to go.
2.0. Hello and welcome to Japan 2.0. This is our first proper episode, but I think second technical episode. And it's about a little place that everyone in Kansai should love, has to love. It's called Nipponbashi, or what do all the cool people call it, Matt?
Denden Town.
Denden Town.
I'm Matt, and this is...
David.
And we're going to take you on a little tour of one of our favorite places in Osaka, my hometown.
Yep. You have to go deep to the south of Osaka to get to this place. And it's in between...
Ibusucho.
Thank you for the save there. And Nipponbashi, the aptly named Nipponbashi Station. You can get off at either one of those. If you're more into the gaming stuff, Ibusucho has some of the game shops closer by it. But I would suggest walking the whole street. It really connects those two places. But we'll get into all those details later. Why would a person... go to Denden Town, and what were your expectations before you went to Denden Town? And last, if you can remember all through these questions, would you agree with a coworker of mine who said, Denden Child is the ugly stepsister of Akihabara?
The ugly stepsister of Akihabara.
Well, start with that one, maybe.
Okay, well, I guess, you know, in some ways that comparison is apt.
Okay.
Because, and the reason why I would say that is because it definitely feels...
smaller.
When you go to Akihabara, it is in Tokyo.
And
there are high rises.
Yeah.
There's flashing lights. You see the Sega sign, the Taito sign. You know, from the one street.
I think the street closes on Sundays in Akihabara. Every Sunday, there's no cars allowed. So it's got like this grandiose feel to it, doesn't it?
Right.
It feels like what you'd expect a Japanese electronic town to feel like.
Right. I mean, the pictures you've seen are pretty accurate, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bright, it's loud, and there's tons of stuff for otaku, right?
Yeah.
When you go to Osaka and you visit Denden Town, it's slightly more spread out.
Mm.
It's not as vertical. And it's a little bit older. But I think that is because originally it was one of the black markets after World War II. That ended up becoming the computer electronics neighborhood.
The first time I went to Denden Town, I didn't realize that I was there. I thought maybe I had missed it. I guess, yeah, I went on vacation and I was just expecting, like, straight up Akihabara. I actually hadn't been to Akihabara, but I'd seen photos and I thought, yeah, clearly that's it. Technically, Nipponbashi is a shopping district, but of course, it's known for electronics goods, video games, manga, anime. It's like the otaku neighborhood. It also has, we like record shopping, Matt and I, so there's a lot of vintage shops of all kinds there. It's not just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they specialize in all sorts of things. Toys, some clothing, some records, video games, of course, computer parts.
There is a Nipponbashi in Tokyo, so don't be confused. It's like the same name, and that is something I remember being confused about. You gotta go. If you go to the Nipponbashi in Tokyo, you will be disappointed. Osaka ones, if you're gonna go to Nipponbashi, it's where you wanna go.
You'll find that if you're using Google Maps to find these places, that it might send you two or three hours in the wrong direction. But so always make sure you're searching for Nipponbashi in Osaka.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably won't make that mistake. Hopefully you don't make that mistake.
Yeah. And like people, like local people in Kansai call it Ponbashi. Just like Akihabara, they just call Akiba. Like Ponbashi is like the name. Or yeah, Denden Town. And they're going to, you know, have all your big staples. They got your, you know, there's big cameras there. Those big, huge retailers.
The thing that you want to go to Denden Town for is the small,
exactly,
curated shops that specialize in like anime goods or
I think that's where
games.
I would get, like, again, like my coworker said, like, if you're looking to be wild, if you're looking for the glitz and the glamour, you're not going to find it in Bendentown. What you will find are these cool, like, external piping. Have you noticed that on that main street? And that's kind of how you know you've arrived. But it's a detail. You got to, like, pay attention to it. You're not going to see it from 100 feet away. But above all the shops and the awnings, there is this piping. It's kind of Mario-esque, you know?
Yeah, it reminds me of Mario Brothers. It's cool. Like these big pipes that go around the street. And they're right above all of the shops on the main strip.
So if you're a person who, like, appreciates details, you want better prices, because the prices are definitely better than Akihabara and Bendentown. It's definitely the place to go if you're, like, going off the beaten path. I don't know. I'd read other sources that said that, like, Bendentown is more up and coming and Akihabara is kind of dying. I don't know. Again, like, we weren't here in the 90s. We can't see how it's changed in the last 20 years, but Akihabara is definitely big. I think Akihabara has a lot more of, like, the maid cafes and the kind of bit of, like, the more of a creepy side, where Bendentown seems to me more like it's for, like, the hardcore.
Well, that's the other part we didn't talk about. Dendentown is, there is a bit of a creepy side. Oh, I mean, there are definitely a lot of, like, pornography shops and then maid cafes.
Yeah.
If you don't know what a maid cafe is, you go into a cafe to have a maid serve you and talk to you in a very formal manner.
Yeah.
And she'll perform spells and stuff over your food.
There's way more of that in Akihabara, though. Like, the maids.
I think Akihabara is known for that. I think that's the stereotypical depiction of it.
Mm.
But I think Dendentown is probably its equal.
Yeah? You think so?
I think so, yeah. If you go on the back street, so the main street
connects
has
the two
all
stations.
Of the big shops.
Yeah.
Like, you know, most of the places, like big computer stores, all the SoftBank phone places where you get an iPhone 6 there, right? But if you go on the, there's a street that runs parallel to the main street.
Yeah,
that is
it'd be just west, one street west of there.
One street west. And it's,
That's the cool,
that's
I like
my
that
favorite street. But it also is the street with the more,
there will
some
be,
of the more shady.
There'll be maids out there soliciting. But I don't know, I kind of feel like if you're new, you kind of want to see that. I don't know, it's like something you know about Japan. But, yeah, again, they're not going to, like, bother you that much. But that's totally, like, where you'll see people in, like, cool costumes and occasional cosplays. We'll get into cosplay a little bit more later, but you got to feel like, all right, there's a culture here, it's special, it's unique on that street, it's one over from the main street.
Yeah, that's where you see the real otaku culture. I mean, you'll see guys going to the vending machines. There's probably, like, you know, the gacha machines.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're classic, you know. Yeah. Like, there's walls to wall of, like, these gacha machines, which are basically like bubblegum machines, we call them in the States, where you put in a quarter and then you turn it and you get a toy.
I'm a sucker for gacha machines. I really like them. And this is like 200 or 300 yen a pop, and it never seems like, oh, that's not too bad.
Well, usually they're really quality. Last year I was really looking for Stormtrooper, some Star Wars themed gachas, and I ended up getting one that was a Stormtrooper that's, he looks like he's trying to grab onto something, like he's trying to hold onto a cup, and then I could put him on different things in my house. You know?
Oh, yeah, I have one of those ones, too. Oh,
yeah,
that the statue really in Osaka, what's it called, the sun angel?
The god of the sun?
God of the sun, yeah, look that up, it's really cool. That's another thing I didn't know about until I moved out to Japan, was the god of the sun statue in Osaka. But I got him the cup ones. You put around the cups. And
he hangs on the side.
Again, that started off as a kind of pervy thing, as far as I know. It was always this girl in a skirt. And, like, you can see up her skirt, you know, when you put the drink up. And I always liked the idea, like, this accessory for a cup. But I can't get into that kind of stuff. So I was like, oh, okay, well. And so when I saw the ones that weren't that, I was like, oh, cool, I got to have it. But I like the puking cats. I mean, there's just hilarious things, the gacha machines.
Well, I'm trying to start this tradition in Japan, and it's a 2.0 tradition, okay?
Let's hear it. Bring it to the masses.
So when my wife and I set up the Christmas tree, we go to Dendentown and we buy
ornaments.
We buy about 4 or 5 new gachas, and we hang it on our Christmas tree.
Right.
So last year we had to go buy, like, dozens of gachas.
To get started.
Yeah, so it was so much fun.
Follow suit this year.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. The ornaments for the tree.
Yeah,
gacha ornaments.
So we have a whole Christmas tree filled with, like, gacha ornaments.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Dendentown's a great place to go for those,
If anybody
takes a photo of their Christmas tree covered with gotchas, please tweet at us.
Japan 2.0.
Japan 2.0 spelled out T-W-O-P-O-I-N-T. Oh, no.
Only the point is spelled out.
Nothing is spelled out. Okay.
Only the point. The numbers are numbers.
So this is a new podcast. You know, I'm going to make mistakes. Yeah. It's a conversational podcast.
We don't even have
roll with the punches.
We don't even have the Twitter yet. We're just hoping and praying.
I'm just bullying David a little bit because, you know.
I messed it up last time. You had to mess it up this time.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, gotchas are a good reason to go to Dindin Town. I mean, the staple shop that we can geek out, we can do a whole podcast about is Super Potato.
Now there's a Super Potato in Akihabara.
Yes, there is. There's one in other areas of Osaka as well. There's quite a lot. I think there's around 10 total in Japan.
Yeah, when I lived in a small neighborhood called Hanazonocho, it's a neighborhood in Osaka that's also... We'll do a podcast on Hanazonocho, don't worry.
We will.
They have a Super Potato.
Yeah.
But it's less...
Retro.
Less retro. I mean, it's more modern retro. So they'll have games from the 32? DS.
Okay.
And maybe some PlayStation 2 games.
Yep.
But they don't go much older than that. Maybe some Super Famicom games. But every vintage video game store has Super Famicom games.
Yeah. And Super Potatoes aren't that common. I don't want you to think like you're going to find them a lot. Again, there's 10 in like all of Japan. I think most of them are in Osaka and Tokyo. But the cool thing about the one in Dindin Town is like all the paraphernalia they sell. I guess I don't have that much time to go back. I love old games. I love the boxes they come in and all that and just checking them out. But I don't have a ton of time to play a lot of old games because I'm just trying to keep up with the new games now. But what I love is just like the gaming stuff that's sold there. The old magazines from the 90s. You know, you can buy old Japanese Famitsus and stuff like that. The like strategy guides, the art books that are in there. There's a lot of stuff not for sale that I would love to buy. Like, they just have, like, ripped out magazine pages with, like, awesome art. They'll have, like, scans of... They'll have the old commercials playing up in there. Lastly, when I went there, the one in Osaka, they had a... I don't know what it's called, but it's kind of like a... It's almost like a kimono top, just the top of a kimono, but it wouldn't fold all the way. It would just go down.
Yeah, the men wear them. The Matsuri.
Yeah, Matsuri. But they had a Dreamcast, one of those, up on the wall, and it was awesome. So they're just...
Sometimes salespeople wear them, so maybe somebody's selling a Dreamcast.
Maybe. But they're just like gaming museums, Japanese gaming museums. The sounds, they're playing old soundtracks in there.
You can buy old soundtracks. It's another great thing to pick up. Another nice thing about Super Potato is they have... what is considered gaming snacks.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up.
So it's not... there's snacks that are very specific to Japan. They're like little gummy candies.
I think they're
gummy
known for like kids. It always reminds... Everyone always says Natsukashi, which means nostalgia when they go there.
Yeah. Natsukashi is a big deal when you go into a Super Potato because they are definitely targeting your nostalgia. Yeah. Like I said, the video game snacks are there. Plushies. You know, of like Nintendo characters, usually Mario. I mean, Mario is such a iconic character.
I bought a Yoshi, like a nightstand light last time I was there for 900 yen. So, yeah, just tons of random stuff. They had a, from Middle Gear, Phantom Pain, they had a Fulton,
Lanyard.
A Fulton Lanyard, with the balloon on it. So,
and then all. Like a lot of specialty video game items, like they might have like a gold Zelda cartridge or something, and they have it behind a glass case.
One of the things that I really want to get is behind glass cases.
Usually I can't afford anything behind the glass case. My wife would kill me if I came up
with
something.
What's the thing you want? I think
well,
I know
the one
where
I
it
want is.
Is
the Dragon Quest 3 soundtrack.
I didn't see it when I went.
Yeah, it hasn't been around in a while. Yeah, but I saw that twice.
Yeah, they had two copies.
They had two copies at one time, but now it's gone. I guess now that vinyl's starting to take off again.
Yeah, I think Matt and I are geeking out a bit here. But like, even if you're not really that into the video games, I'd really recommend just don't go to some of the other shops, we'd say. But Super Potato, like, you want to go to. Everyone likes Mario.
Super Potato.
And they cover that. They cover for the hardcore and you know, just if you're just wanting to check out outside of Japan. I will say it will be the most expensive of all the gaming shops you go to, because it is really well known, and they do have like the widest selection. So if you're on a budget, maybe go there to get an idea and then check out some of these other places we're going to mention to price check.
Just you got to go to Denden Town. And after our next segment, we'll tell you a little bit more about Denden Town. So stay tuned for that.
ゲームは最高潮明日は日曜心配ゴムよ
Coming back at you with Japan 2-point hacks.
2-point hacks, 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 hacks.
Matt's gonna bring to you a really great tip to Japan. You don't want to be one of the lame foreigners that we see sometimes looking all around subway stations, lost, not knowing what's going on. So get ready for Matt's inside tip, which is what Japan 2-point hacks is all about. You know, some inside tips to Japan you're not gonna find out there in other places, or maybe you are, but you're not going to get the kind of flavor that Matt's going to bring you right now. Matt, what's your hack of the day?
Well, my hack is something that I struggled with in Korea, and then I really struggled with in Japan, and that is getting around on the subways. And one of the things that makes my life so much easier, not being able to read Japanese, and, I can't read kanji, which is the most difficult aspect of reading Japanese. Mm. And it makes it difficult because a lot of the stations are only
the maps
in
are only
kanji.
In Japanese.
Yeah, they're only in Japanese. There's not a lot of English signage in this country, especially when you're outside of major cities and major stations.
Yeah. That's true.
So
so if you had to like do it with the old style ticket way at a subway station, you need to like find where you are and where you want to go all in Japanese, and then see how much money you need to put in the machine.
Right.
And it's really horrible.
And the stations, like, you have to calculate, okay, I'm going 5 stations, so I owe this amount of money. And so you put that amount of money
into
the machine.
You might transfer to another subway line, and they have their own pricing system. There's all these different companies running the subway lines, and it can be pretty complicated.
Some are private. Some are run by the government. You know, you don't want to find yourself standing around not being able to get into a subway cart. You just want to get through those turnstiles, and you want to get to where you're going. And the easiest way to do that is with something called an IC card. And I have mine out right here. David's laughing at me.
I busted it out. He's got the new version.
Yeah, so they'll come in different names. Mine is an Ikoka card. That's what they use in Kansai.
Do you know what that means?
No, I'm not sure.
It's the local Kansai dialect. So they're famous for their dialect here. It's quite different from other places in Japan, and it means let's go.
Let's go.
Ikoka, let's go.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And but you could also get it in Tokyo. It's called
Suika.
Suika.
I don't know. I think that means watermelon.
Watermelon, really?
I think.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. Ours makes a lot more sense out here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Watermelon, yeah. Or let's go.
That's why Kansai is the best.
Yeah.
And all you do is you recharge it at the station. And there are these machines at almost all of the stations that say IC card, and it shows a little arrow going in. Put in your card, and then denominations of money will pop up on the screen. You touch that denomination, and you put in the money, and then out comes your card, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, so you just put, like, you know, $20 or $10 on there at a time, and you don't really have to worry if it's $4 your next up or $5 and preloading it. You just blindly walk to the turnstile, put your card in, and then it'll just charge you whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
There's no math you need to do, or you don't need to go through all that kanji on the map.
Yep, you just stick it on top of the turnstile. There's a little spot that says IC. it'll make a beeping sound, and the doors will open, and you'll be on your way. Yeah. And I can't tell you how many times I see people, like, standing around trying to use those machines to get tickets to go two or three stops from where they are.
When you first brought this one up, I was like, I don't know if this really fits with our show's theme of, like, not being, like, an intro beginner Japanese show, because, like, if you live here, you're going to know that. But you're very, very right in this hack, because I have so many friends that have lived here for, like, 10 years. It almost seems like the longer they lived here, the less they use them. And I'll be going out with them, and maybe they have cars, a lot of these guys, too. But they'll be, like, stuck at the turnstile, and I'm sitting there waiting around for them. I'm like, man, you lived here for 10 years. You got to get, like, a card. Because you pay 500 yen down for them. But if you ever, like, for whatever reason want to turn it in or you're leaving, you can turn it in and you get it all back. So you're essentially not paying for it at all.
Yeah, they come charged with 500 yen, right?
They come charged with 2,000 yen. Okay. So what you do is you pay 2,000 yen, and then it's 15,000 is charged on it, right? So you're missing that 500, but if you ever turn in the card to the station master, then they give you your 500 yen back.
We'll see. It's so, perfect for tourists.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Yeah. So. And it's something that I didn't know about when I came to Japan 3 times... Mm-hmm. As a tourist,
yeah.
And I had no idea that you could get a card like this. When I was in Korea, we used these types of cards all the time. You could get them at any convenience store.
Yeah, and that's another good point, is you can actually pay with these cards, so it's kind of like a preloaded credit card. Now, very small percentage of shops take them, but if it is in the subway station, they're probably going to take it. And every convenience, which for me, a convenience is a place I go every single day of my life.
And by convenience, you mean convenience store.
Convenience store, yep. Lawson's, Family Mart, all those, they'll take them. So it's really, really hard, I'm sure most of you guys know, to get a check card in Japan, or like a credit card. So for me, I'll put on like $100 on my Ikoku card, and I just use it at the convenience stores, so I don't have to have a bunch of change in my pocket.
Some vending machines will also accept Ikoku,
especially
cards.
In the subway station, they're gonna accept them. So yeah, if you don't like carrying a lot of cash, Japan normally is a cash-based society. This is a pretty good way to do that, even as a tourist or if you're living here. So that's a pretty awesome tip, Matt. I like that one.
Yeah, thanks. All right, we're going to take another pause, and then we'll be right back with the second part of our segment.
Welcome back, Japan 2.0. We're about ready to break down some of the best shops in Denden Town for you. I guess for me, it took a while before I really started to love Denden Town. I definitely liked it right away, but I didn't find that many guides to Denden Town. You kind of have to like sort it out on your own. And again, it's not that obvious because it's not very flashy. You know, the cool shops are smaller. It took me about 2 or 3 places, I think, to really nail down, like, all right, I got to come to this place every time. And one of the shops I really like is on the street. We talked about the main street that connects the two stations, and Matt talked about the parallel street as a cool gaming culture. But there's a street that runs between those two, so it's perpendicular. And it's called G Store in English. And that one is cool because they carry a lot of cool like t-shirts in there, some manga and anime t-shirts, video game. I'm a big Dreamcast, the Sega lover. Lately they've had a Sega Dreamcast shirt up in there. They'll have like Neon Genesis Evangelion. They'll have like jeans in there, some like one-off specials.
They have a lot of cosplay clothing and wigs and things like that, like stuff from anime and manga you would know, like Naruto and Bleach and One Piece.
And there's a more famous shop called Animate, and they carry that stuff too. But something about this shop, they seem to specialize in the more niche shows. There's like a little wrestling section too. I'm kind of fascinated by Japanese wrestling. I've never gone, I don't really follow it, but something about it I like. And I think that kind of sums up the shop, in which they like just carry kind of off the wall, weird, obscure stuff. So yeah, if you're into like some video game, manga, anime clothing, check out G Store. That's a pretty cool one. One of these reasons to go to these electronic towns is for their computer shops, especially if you're into like building your own computer or making like drones or Raspberry Pi, which is like a little computer you can make for $40. There's these stores that are called like DOS, D-O-S.
And they sell all those little knickknacks for you. And these stores are pretty big. There's like these crisscross escalators you can see from the street. And yeah, if you're a computer guy or girl, like, they're going to totally get you excited. They are more expensive than Western countries, I've been told, but they are going to have all these crazy parts under one building. You can actually touch them and feel them, and you don't have to do online shopping for that. So if you're into the computer hardware stuff, check out, I think it's Dos Prada, but definitely DOS, you can find in the name. That's a pretty big one. There's another really, really awesome shop that I've only found recently on my visits to Denton Town, and it is called Astro Zombies. Have you ever been there, Matt?
I don't know if I've been to Astro Zombies. I'm sure I have.
It's on one of the...
It's probably one of the places with all the toys, right?
They have a lot of just old paraphernalia. They kind of specialize in Western stuff. It's not actually that Japanese. But what is Japanese about it, and I feel worthy of talking about it on a Japanese podcast, is like they do retro culture from other countries better than you'd find in that country. They even have like cereal, like old cereal from the 90s in this shop.
Boxes of cereal.
Yeah, like Kix and Life. And
well, it is hard to get cereal out here in Japan. So,
yeah. Count Dracula, they have that in there. Yeah, a lot of like 80s and 90s toys. There's like movie set pieces in there, like the original masks of like classic horror, like 40s, 50s, 60s. Halloween time, which we had just hit, it was like the coolest shop to go. They sold masks in there.
There are a couple of shops like that in Denton Town that have Western toys.
Yeah,
and movie replicas and things like that.
This one for me is my favorite. It's called Astro Zombies. It's on, again, a perpendicular street that connects those two main streets. It's got a very punk rock vibe to it in there, like a rockabilly, psychobilly kind of vibe. The music's great. People are pretty friendly, so check out that one if you're into that kind of stuff. Talking about food, Denton Town, you know, we're really trying to just capture the vibe. This isn't necessarily a guide to Denton Town, but there's a lot of meat in Denton Town when you're coming to eating. You'll find a lot of gyudon, which is beef bowl there, a lot of gyudon shops, ramen shops, you know, so they always are like showing the pork. I don't know, whenever I go there, I see a lot of like cheap meat, which has a bad connotation, but there's this place called Takeru, and it advertises the 1 pound steak hamburger. And Matt and I had gone there before, and we always saw a pretty big line outside of the place. It's right on the main drag, that back street we're talking about, where Super Potato is. And I got to go on an off night on a Tuesday night, and there was no line. And yeah, the steak started at 1,000 yen, so $10, which in Japan is pretty cheap for a steak. And if you want a full pound, it's going to cost you like $35. You can choose your weight. But all guys in there, there's no girls in the shop. If you're a girl, you can definitely go, but they're definitely catering to some men. And I went with a couple of friends, and they're all really, like, all week they're talking about it, saying they want to go back there. It was a really good price. They put a big, giant, like, a hunk of butter on top of the meat, and it's just, like, sizzling on the plate. But, yeah, Japan has this kind of whole market for, like, $10 to $15 steaks, and I haven't really explored it. I've seen a lot of these shops, and Takeru, I think it was my first one, and it set the bar pretty high. I really want Matt to go and see what he thinks about it.
Yeah, I haven't been to the Takeru. I've been to one called Pepper Lunch that is in Akihabara. It's a very similar type of place.
I took a picture of the menu. I'm just going to read you a little description of one of the steaks that you can order there.
Yeah.
It's called the Special Time for You steak, and it's only 3% of a cow, and it is high-quality part of meat. We offer premium steak used high-quality meat, even out of it.
Even
so,
out of it.
So if you're looking for the even out of it special time for you, Takeru is the place for you. On that note, I think Matt wants to talk about probably the coolest thing we've ever done in Nipponbashi, Denton Town, which is the...
It is called the Street Festa.
Street Festa. What the heck is a Street Festa?
The Street Festa happens once a year, and it's their big anime cosplay... parade, and it's a huge parade where they shut down the street to traffic, and everybody is wearing anime costumes, and
everybody
and it is just, the place is swamped. Like, there's so many people,
the streets are shut down,
and you're just wading through like thousands of people. It feels like thousands of people if it's just hundreds. But it's probably the biggest cosplay event I've ever been to. And I've been to some big ones. I used to go to Anime Expo in Los Angeles. And the first couple of years I went there, there was a lot of cosplay. But this blew it away. There was just so many people and so many varied styles. You had like your common manga and anime, like Attack on Titan and Naruto Dragon Ball. And
they're done well.
Yeah,
and
but
it's like all people together too. It's not just one-offs. They're usually like sets. You know, people
like
groups
friends,
of five or six
dress up together
as a theme.
Yeah, but there was a lot of more obscure things from video games. I would say like Final Fantasy characters,
there's
or Dragon.
There's
Quest.
A Punch Out, which is awesome.
There was some Punch Out characters, the Wireframe Punch Out from the arcade game. Yeah,
that was really good.
They're just a lot of characters you've never seen before, you know, a lot of people that probably just dress as Lolitas during the week but have nowhere to go, you know.
I think the thing was, like, the participation was so high that we felt bad for not. We just went in our regular clothes. I think, like, if we go again, I want to do something, at least wear a hat or...
There are a lot of people walking around taking photos, too.
I felt like
I wasn't quite a part of it.
Yeah.
I think next year I'm definitely doing it. I'm definitely dressing up and going as a character.
There's like even a car show, like an anime car show, and all the cars are decked out with like... That wasn't really cool, though, because it was none of the good anime or good manga. It was
well,
just like...
I think, I mean, of course, you know, once again, this is our opinion, but I think that what these guys do is they have cars that they deck out with anime characters, and I think
girls,
a lot of times it's characters of their own design, you know, just moe, kind of like,
And there were some girls posing in front of it. It felt a bit creepy, but it was still, like, cool to see, like, a pretty big spectacle, and... again, some subculture, you know, that these people obsess over.
And the dedication the people were showing was like, it was commendable, especially since last year they found a 6-ton bomb, a leftover bomb from World War II that was buried in Nipponbashi.
Yeah, it was in a parking lot, I think.
It was an active bomb. And
we found out like a week before the thing.
It was like a couple of days before they said that they found this bomb, and they were gonna have to shut down the parade, and they told people, listen, if you come to the parade, it's coming at your own risk. They blocked off the whole area, like about a block, like I guess a parking lot size area, and they wouldn't let people go through there, but.
Didn't stop us from showing up.
It didn't stop anybody in the costumes from showing up. I mean, maybe that's not a good thing to admit. Maybe we're all nuts, but I think it's one of those events you really can't miss if you're in Osaka during the time of the year, which I believe it was in May or June. Yeah. May or June. I'm pretty sure May. Just before summer. I'll look it up. Keep going. Yeah. But if you're ever in Osaka during that time, I highly recommend it. I think you'll have a good time, whether you're into cosplay or not. I mean, just the vibe there was incredible. And there were a few arcades and stuff that popped up, and I don't think those are around all the time, but there was a small arcade with retro games that popped up, and it was all these old Atari games, mostly American games.
Yeah.
That was one of the unique things I saw there.
It's usually, last year is on March 21st. I don't think it's the same day every year, but yeah, it's definitely usually around March.
I'm surprised it was so early.
But it was cold. I remember that. But, yeah, the arcade was really awesome. And it's not just, like, the main street. You get off these back streets, and there's, like, these little, like, camps, you know, where the people must be, like, getting their costumes ready. It's just cool to see them all camped out. And it's just funny to go to, like, Family Mart or these normal shops, and everyone's in their anime costumes in there. And I guess it's kind of like Japan's Halloween.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it is. But it's still, for that very specific part of Osaka. I mean, it's for the otaku of Osaka. That, and people from, I'm sure, all over Osaka and Kansai come there to dress up.
We didn't know what to expect, but after going once, I think it'll be a thing, like, every year, like, gotta go to. And if I don't end up there, I'll be pretty bummed, you know?
Does Akihabara have a costume parade?
I bet they do. I don't know.
But yeah, if you know about that, please tweet at us at whatever our correct Twitter.
Japan 2.0 point spell out.
Okay, just spell out point.
Yeah, there you go.
And not O, zero.
Zero.
Yeah. That's gonna be hard to explain.
It'll be in the notes, in the show notes. You can just, if you click on the podcast, right? You have the text there.
But so. Who does that?
I do it all the time.
You look at the show notes?
Yeah, I do. But I'm a nerd. I'm making my own podcast, so.
Yeah, yeah. So you're the 1%.
Yeah.
But, so Denden Town, David, what do you think? Should people go?
Denden Town, you definitely got to go to Denden Town. It's a cool place. Don't believe the ugly stepsister thing. Yeah, it's not glitzy. It's not the glamour. But it's a great place. Spend some time there. Don't just go for an hour or two. You need to go for a pretty long time to totally get it all. It's a pretty cool place. I think, again, hopefully you listen to this podcast, I think you'll go there. Maybe if you went there without it, you wouldn't be able to appreciate it. But it's a place I love to go. I'd say, like, it's probably my top four places in Osaka.
Yeah, I go there all the time. Yeah. Like, whenever I have, like, a free weekend and my wife is busy doing something, I'll go to Denden Town and, you know.
That's true. If I'm going by myself, Denden Town is kind of the place I find myself going to. I guess it's not for everyone. You know, I think it's for, if you're looking for the stuff that we mentioned.
For otaku.
For otaku. You got to be a nerd to go there.
You got to be a nerd. If you like computer games, you like, if you're an audiophile, if you're into records, if you're into comic books and stuff, I mean, it's the only place to go.
Yep. So that was our episode about Denden Town. We got a close of the song, and this song is very appropriate for Denden Town. This is the first Japanese group I ever got into. I got into them around 14 or 15 years old, and it was all because of the old Zelda commercial. The Zelda commercial, I'm pretty sure, was from the early 90s, late 80s.
I would say early 90s, yeah.
Yeah, and it features part of the song in it, and I think it's like a bit of a, like a remix or a long play of it.
An edit.
Yeah, maybe. An edit. And the group is called Shtaralapa, and I always butcher that name. In the West, we just know them as SDP. They're even featured on a De La Soul album.
They're considered the Japanese Beastie Boys.
They are, and Matt and I are big, big Beastie Boys fans. Before I even heard of that comparison, naturally I had made it on my own. They're funny rappers, you know, their lyrics are quite comedic. While I don't really understand them, you still can even get that vibe. I guess to speak to her again, like, not really understanding the language, just the beats and the samples are awesome and great. And this song, Game Boys, is about video games, and it's got some bleeps and bloops in the sounds, and there's some English in there. They're yelling Game Boys, and it's a good introduction to the band. I'd say go out and listen to a lot of their stuff. They're not like one-hit wonders. Their albums are great.
You could count on us probably doing SDP again in the future.
Yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan. We're going to go see them live in about 2 months. Maybe we'll have to report on that in Japanese concerts. But get pumped up for Game Boys. You'll listen to it more than one time because it's so good. So,
yeah. So let's give our Twitter. And it's Japan 2.0.
Spell two, out point.
Yeah. Yeah. The two spell out point, and it's zero. Yeah.
Number zero. Thanks again for listening to our first proper episode of Japan 2.0 about Denden Town. Get out there. Go there. If you're in Japan, go visit. If you're planning on coming out to Osaka, got to hit Denden Town. You get that otaku vibe. See those pipes with your own eyes.
Yeah. Signing out. This is Matt.
And this is David. Peace.
Peace.